Thank you very much. It's certainly good to see each of you again tonight. I'll tell you, that singing is better than the preaching. It's going to be better than the first preacher, I can tell you that. But certainly have enjoyed the preaching today of Brother Fulmer and Brother Colquitt and Brother Hatfield. And certainly I trust that you will be in prayer tonight, that the Lord would bless us as we try to stand before you, especially. Am I praying for Brother Andrew Huffman, that the Lord would bless him and be with him as he stands before you. You know, Brother Zach has to, some way, just have to mention something about me being old. And Brother Justin Huffman called me last year sometime and said, but Brother Stanley said, we'd like you to come up here to Cincinnati and speak. Said, we have several younger preachers lined up. We want to get a couple older preachers. I said, well, Brother Justin, I've got a list. Let me get you a list and their phone numbers. And don't be calling me if you're looking for older preachers. But anyway, certainly it's good to be with you again here tonight. And I don't think I've ever been in a meeting that had mix that you have in this meeting. Generally, I go to meetings and it's mostly white-haired people with a few younger people. And here we have a lot of young people and a few of us with have gray hair. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for your dedication, your commitment. I'm thankful to Brother Zach and the ministry, all the ministry here at Grace Chapel, and all of you that go to make it up and come in this area. The Lord bless us tonight. We might look for a little while at on the thought of forgiveness. You know, in 1963, Billy Graham held a crusade out in Los Angeles. And the next morning at breakfast, they remarked to him, said that the things that he had said the night before, that the remarks were being made about it, that he had set the church back 50 years. And what a great tragedy that was. By the things he had said, he'd set the church back 50 years. And Billy Graham said, well, if I only set it back 50 years, I failed. He said, I want to set it back 2,000 years. And tonight, I would like to set you back and all the kingdom of God for 2,000 years. You say, well, you know, it was okay in the days of Paul and Silas with shepherds and ox carts. But in the days of jet airplanes and space shuttles and interstate highways, it's not, we don't want to go back 2,000 years ago. But the things that the scripture has to speak to us that was good for the church 2,000 years ago, I saw Brother Harold, Elder Harold, when he came in tonight, and he said, the last time I saw you, you were singing old-time religion. I said, well, Brother Harold, I might just sing it again. And I'll tell you, so we might look at what was good for the church 2,000 years ago and might still be good for it today. You know, I was reading an account not too long ago of a church and the history of the church, and it was a large church. It was, I do not know the brand of the church, but it was in the denominational world. It was not a Primitive Baptist church. But they at one time had about 500 members. But in the 500 members and in the 35 years of their history, they had 9 pastors. 9 pastors in 35 years. You can figure that. 4 apiece would be 36 years. So they had put a sign out in front of their church that ought to be in the front of every church in America. And that is, forgive us. In a place where you most of the time to go to ask for forgiveness, that was asking for forgiveness. They had conducted themselves in such a way that they had 9 pastors in 35 years, and they now had 40 members. They went from 500 members to 40 members in 35 years because of the way they had conducted themselves. They put on their sign, Lord, forgive us, because. And so as we look at that, as we look at what the scripture says in Galatians 5:4, it says, if you bite and devour one another, you'll be consumed one of another. the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are not immune to it. The Christian people upon this earth, we have certainly not kept the word of the Lord as the Apostle Paul laid it out through his word and through the scriptures, how he laid out that we might preach the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Jude, in the third verse of the book of Jude, he said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." I believe I've heard this preached a lot of ways, but I believe that this faith that was once delivered to the saints was the whole of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just salvation by grace, not just the doctrine of election, not just the doctrine of predestination, not just those things, but it was the entire body of works of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So it was important that Jude said that they would he would come again and preach to them that was faith of the faith once delivered to the saints. So we have our grandparents and those that's gone on before us that have blazed such a trail for us. I saw a bumper sticker not long ago, and I know you've seen it too. On the back of the car, it said, "God said it, I believe it, and that settles it." And you know, you could really just take something and just scratch out that middle part. God said it, and you don't know whether you believe it or not, but that settles it. And God said it, and that settles it. And so we have to realize that man can do a lot of things. He can build spaceships, and he can build great buildings and great bridges and all the great structures of the world and all the medical science and things that we've had that are so good. But man cannot bring salvation. He cannot bring eternal life to God's people. He's not a part of that. It was a plan laid out by God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. And they have made every provision necessary for the salvation of God's people while we live here on this earth. They only deliver us, and when this world is over, we someday will live with Him in heaven. But we're bound together. The Scriptures has given us how that we ought to live, how that we ought to conduct ourselves. And I don't know if you've looked too much into it, but I want to give your attention to some of the things that God says that we're done. We're bound as a family, we're bound together. And it says that we are to love one another. Now this sign out in front said, "Lord, forgive us." I talked to a sister today who told me about the time that she held an offense against someone for many, many years. And one day, someone come along and opened up the scripture to her and told her that you need to lay that aside. And what rejoicing it was, she said, when she was able to lay that aside, because she began to hold grudges for many years against someone of an offense that they had actually committed against someone else. So it says that we ought to love one another. Just listen to all the time the scripture has to talk about what we ought to do one to another. It says that we ought to love one another in Romans 13 and 8. In Romans 12 and 5, it says we ought to have harmony one with another. We have love for one for another. We have harmony one for another. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 25, it said we ought to care for one another. Just look at all the time the scriptures talk about what we ought to do one for another. We ought to forgive one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, I believe Brother Hatfield quoted it today, one of them did, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest I should also be tempted." So we have to realize that we do make mistakes, and we need to learn to be forgiving. The church that had 9 pastors in 35 years, they did not have a forgiving spirit. Because every man that's ever tried to pastor a church has made plenty of mistakes. I've been going to the Tyler Church. This doesn't tell my age, because I started when I was a baby because my father was the pastor, but I've been going there over 50 years. I've been pastoring there 25 years. And I'll tell you, I've made a lot of mistakes, and they don't even bring them up to me. They don't even mention them. And it's just, and you have to have, as a church body, the pastor's not going to do everything right, say everything right. He's going to offend someone sometime and so forth. He's going to do the best he can, but he's doing it out of love. And so we also, as a congregation, we won't be too anxious to criticize him and tell him, well, I didn't want to have sandwiches next Thursday night. You know, I don't even ask. I just say, you know, I think that Brother Zach Guest will be here next week, and let's have sandwiches at 5:30. You see, if you start asking people, one will raise their hand and say, well, I don't think we ought to. And then another say, well, then, you know, then if you do, you're in trouble. So you just go ahead as the pastor and in meekness and humbleness that you try to guide the congregation. It's your duty and it's your responsibility. You're the head of that flock. And that God has put you in that position. And that you try to be an influence unto them and to encourage them. But it said that we care for one another. And it says by love that we serve one another. You know, in the book of Galatians in the 5th chapter, it's talking about our liberty, that we stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. As he goes on down through that chapter, he begins to talk about the liberty, and he talks about the liberty that we have, that we serve one another. And it says that we ought to be kind one to another. Recently, last year, we had Brother Compton, James Compton of Maryland, Washington, D.C. He was up speaking for us. Brother Compton is 101 years old. In fact, Brother Compton told me a few days ago that they might be at this meeting today, but evidently was not able to be. But he's 102 now, 101, not sure. But I liked it so well when Brother Compton got up to speak to us, and he does better than some of us older preachers. But he said, brethren, you know, he doesn't read anymore, but he just quoted it. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Isn't that wonderful? A man that's 100 and something years old, that's been down the road, he knows what it takes. He says, and be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Isn't that sweet? And can you live in a church that does not have to have a division in it, that does not have to problem in it, because you love one another, you serve one another, you're kind to one another, you're forgiving to one another, all the things that you can do one to another? Isn't that beautiful and wonderful? You know, Brother Compton was at my house back in about 2 months ago in November. And as my wife was cooking breakfast one morning and Brother Compton was sitting in the chair there, Brother Compton was talking to my wife, and he told her, he said, you know, and he was married, I'm not sure, Brother Andrew might know, but it was something close to 70 years or 75 years he was married, and he loved his wife so much, and she died a few years ago, and he's by himself now. But he told my wife, because I think he knew she needed it, he said, you know one thing that my wife and I never did do? Said, we never did talk about the things that we would have done or should have done or could have done. Said, all we talked about was the things we was going to do. What's going to happen today? What are we planning on doing tomorrow? And he said, we had such a wonderful marriage, because it was not a time that they talk about what they would have done or could have done or should have done. We all make mistakes. And whenever we are in a congregation of God's church and his children, we're going to make mistakes. But we won't talk about that. We're going to look over one another for good. We won't talk about the things you should have done and could have done. But we're going to talk about today. And we're going to talk about tomorrow and the things that we can do. I know that, I believe that some of our ancestors in the ministry has probably made mistakes in the way that they handled certain situations. And history might show that us ministers here may and will make mistakes the way we handle certain situations. But you know, I don't want to talk about what all the mistakes that someone's made. This cause is so great. It's so wonderful that we're here. I love having all of you here. And isn't it wonderful to be able to praise God one with another, that we look over one another, that we serve one another? You know, I was reading an account a while back about a man named Bill O'Dell. Bill O'Dell was a man that lived on the outskirts of town, and the preacher who was writing it, and he said that when he took the pastorship, he went out to see Bill O'Dell, and Bill was sick. And he said that Bill was just wonderful and was just jolly, and everything was just wonderful. And he said the next time he went back to see him, he was the same way. But he said, one day then, he said, I brought up about the church. And he said, when I did, he just seemed to turn silent and bitter and just was altogether a different person. He didn't want to talk about the church. Bill didn't go to church any longer. He'd gone a long time, but a couple of the men over at the church hurt his feelings one time, and Bill didn't go back anymore. Bill had cancer, and the preacher said he went to visit him, and as he got lower and lower, he said he never brought up the church anymore because Bill was so bitter about the church. He said finally Bill went to the hospital, and he thought it was for his last time. And he did. He lingered low in the hospital. The preacher said he sat with him all Saturday night. And finally about 3:30, he said, about 3:30 in the morning, he told Bill, he said, Bill, I'm going to have to go get ready for church. And Bill said, okay. And Bill left and went home and got ready. And he came back to the church about 6:30. And he told Bill that now that I was going to the church. And he said Bill motioned him over to him. And he said he came over to his bed. And he said the preacher said, I had my ear almost to his lips. And he said in a voice, he said, when you get to the church, said, tell Nate and JV that I'm sorry that I acted the way I did, that I was wrong. And he said there was a tear on his cheek when he said it. And the preacher rushed right out, and he went to church, and he made the announcement. He said, Bill O'Dell told Brother Nate and Brother JV said that he was sorry for the way he had acted. And JV and Nate immediately left the church, and they went to the hospital, but Bill was gone. They rejoiced in the fact. The whole church rejoiced that he again was embracing the church. But have you imagined all the times that was missed? Did you know I grew up in a congregation of churches with young people like this, and we had a lot of enjoyable times at church. And we can just go back through the years and the good memories we had. But you know, as time went on, just a few years, I was in high school. And the preachers began to squabble over something that didn't amount to a hill of beans. I'm telling you, in the grand scheme of things, it was nothing. A woman talking on a party line and said something that another one overheard. They never could get over it. And they split off 11 churches. 3 ministers at the beginning, and they split off 11 churches. And we were all on the other side. We never put up any bars. My daddy said, well, we couldn't find any bars. Said we went everywhere in town looking for bars. We went to Sears. We went to the hardware store. We couldn't find any bars. We never put up any bars. The brethren, if they'd come amongst us, we'd want to preach them. I remember, and I told the lady tonight, that's the only place I ever been where they told me they wouldn't preach me. But you know, in a few years, a few generations, we had a few first-class funerals. And a few generations, those grandchildren began to visit one with another. And I went for 35 years as a young teenager of enjoying the fellowship as you have here with all these young people. And I went for 35 years, and it took that long for me again to see that pretty little girlfriend that I had way back there in 11th grade that I never did get to see anymore. Because we wouldn't look over one another for a fault, that we wouldn't be kind to one another, that we would make accusations against someone and say things that were hurtful. We were not, did not have a forgiving spirit. Bill O'Dell missed a wonderful, many wonderful meetings. You imagine all the brethren over there were having meetings and so forth, but, you know, there's something about just having that fellowship one with another. That's what we're having here. We're having sweet fellowship one with another. And to ever break that fellowship and that love that we have, we need to take it very seriously. It said that we are forgive one another, that we be, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. If you don't, one of these days, and you know, I imagine there's a lot of places now where we need to put out a sign that says, forgive us, Lord, for the way we have conducted ourselves. I told you, I conducted a funeral this week for a man who was a member of a neighboring church. It's about 50 miles from us. And at the funeral, that little church only has 5 members left. And at the funeral, I heard one of the sisters back there telling somebody, the Buddhist's folks, tell them about, well, we only have 5 members and we meet once a month and so forth and so on. I thought, you know, it'd be just as well if you didn't tell the whole world that. Well, why would you tell them that we have no more interest in the church than we're going to meet once a month if it's not Christmas or it's not New Year's or it's not Christmas Eve or some other occasion, then we're going to have church. But it said that we serve one another, that we forgive one another, that we have compassion one for another, that we comfort one another, that we admonish one another, that we pray for one another, that we edify one another. Did you know that there was that many scriptures in the Bible of what we ought to do one for another and to one another? So we realize that we should do that one to another. It also teaches us in Romans 4:13 that we should not pass judgment upon one another. That in Galatians 5 it says not to envy one another. You know that that'll cause a problem in the church if we envy one another. That we not lie to one another in Colossians 3:9. That we not speak evil one of another. That we not grumble to another. And that we be not consumed by another. But in actuality, we're to give encouragement to one another. It says that we encourage or we exhort one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. And so we're talking about we need encouragement, not discouragement. We're not to run over and mistreat one another. The Apostle Paul needed encouragement. At one time, his life got so low that he said he despaired even of life. And so we realize that so oftentimes we must, how we treat one another and how we conduct ourselves. You know, I found this little article in my Bible today. I preached a meeting a few years ago. Somewhere I found it. I always stick stuff in my Bible. You go through this Bible, you could find anything. They called me a few years ago to come to a church and to preach that weekend for their 200th year anniversary. And it was a wonderful occasion, and I enjoyed it very much. One of the people at the church wrote down a few things about it. And she said, "We thank thee, O God, for your mercy and grace." Now remember, this church has been meeting for 200 years. Just think about the things that they're thanking the Lord for. "We thank thee, O God, for your mercy and grace, for your guidance and for the blessings we have received in this place. We thank thee for the dear ones who have gone this way before, for their examples of courage, for their faith in your word. Although they had trials without and within, in this place they found refuge. In this place they found friends. We thank thee, O Lord, for a quiet sanctuary in this place, where we lay our burdens down and hear a message of your grace. We thank thee for our ministers who are faithful in your vineyard, for their instruction, for their reproof in rightly dividing the word, for the sweet communion in prayer, for hymns to sing, praises, and for your providential care. We thank thee, O God, for the next generation to come. We ask for them guidance and a portion of thy wisdom. In us, dear Lord, please let them see Christians walking in sweet accord with hearts full of charity. In the things that they should seek, let our examples for them be those not looking for the world's fortunes, but seeking the inheritance of the meek. O Father, for this generation will not worry for their trials or for their tears. We know they will have struggles, and we know they will have fears. But on this truth we thankfully contend, salvation to man you did not entrust, nor on his good works does it depend. As said the psalmist so many years past, in thee, O Lord, we put our trust. Our times are in thy hands. We know thee, O Father, as long as this world shall stand. You will provide your people a refuge, and in you, O Lord, they will find a friend. I hope that 200 years from now, that you too will still be that somebody, if the Lord doesn't come back, of course, that somebody will still be here at Grace Chapel. And someone will be overlooking one another, caring for one another, looking up and serving one another, and serving the Lord, of course, by serving one another. I read the article of a little girl up in the wheat fields of Canada, actually. And she had gone out. She was just only 2 years old. And she had gone out late one afternoon. And she had wandered off into the wheat fields. And the little girl, of course, was not tall enough to show above the wheat. And as they missed the little girl, they began to bring in neighbors to find this little child. And they looked and they looked for the little child. And I remember whenever I was in high school, we had a little neighbor boy that the same way he wandered off from the house, and we all went in to look for the little boy. It was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And we didn't find the little fellow for till later that afternoon. It was almost dark. I was about 20 yards, as close as here to Brother Zach, for the person who screamed out, "Here he is." And we ran over there and pulled the little boy out of the water. It was not 2 feet deep in an old creek bed. We pulled him out, put the hands up on his chest, and his little bubbles came out. I ran for the doctor and for the ambulance and got him, but it was too late. And they determined that he had not died when we first started looking for him. He had drowned in the 3 or 4 hours that we had taken to look for him. When this little girl went into the wheat field, they looked and they looked and they looked, and they couldn't find her. And finally, about 4 o'clock in the morning, someone suggested, "Why don't we just join hands? There's enough of us here. We can cover this wheat field. Let's join hands and let's walk across and see if we can find that little girl." In just a little while, they joined hands and they walked across the wheat field and they found the little girl. And she was dead. Her lifeless little cold body had succumbed to the night cold temperature. And as they brought her out, someone remarked, said, "You know, if we would only held hands to start with, if we would only held hands to try to find this little girl." And I thought, if only the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would hold hands, if we would hold hands one with another and be in this army marching for God. There's little factions of our people all over the country, and there's very little difference in what all of them believe. And yet sometimes we become so factionalized that we don't, you know, this group don't want to mix with that group and so forth and so on. I've been down that road. I don't want to go. I want to hold hands. I want to go through the fields that are white for harvest. And I want to go through and let us serve one another and love one another, be kindly affectionate to one another, and do all the things. Let bitterness and prejudice and hardness be removed. Oh, well, Brother Stanley, I know what you're saying, but brother, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand for the Lord, and I'll never bow to some of the things that I hear is going on. Some of the things you hear going on are not even going on. They're not even going on. I've had these brethren that's been in my home, and I've talked to them personally. and of the things that they might be accused of saying. They do not believe that. That's the furthest thing from the truth. And yet I go out and I hear these things that are being told, that is being preached and so forth. And this group believes that. Listen, I've talked to them and I know what's happening. And I hear people saying, I'm just alarmed. Brother Stanlin, your daddy and my daddy would turn over in their grave if they knew what was going on with the Primitive Baptist Church. Well, now, brother, don't be speaking for me while you up there. Because I know where my father stood. My father would be wanting us to hold hands and love one another and serve one another and go down through this life and go together and all praise God and glory. And Brother Colquitt can testify that. He knew my father very well. He visited him almost every day in the nursing home, and I'll never forget Brother Colquitt's kindness. But that we love one another, that we serve one another, that we hold one another up, that we look over one another. And so I'm pleading with you young people that are here, if you ever come to the situation in this life, and us older folks also, that we'll not be so hesitant to kick a brother or a sister out. I heard enough bad stuff on Zach Guest before I ever met him that no man would ever wanted to meet him. And I'll never forget the night I met him. And what he meant to me then, and I know exactly the way he looked and where we were standing, he said, I'm Zach Guest. And I said, I'm Vernie Stanlin, and I was so glad to meet him. He's never one time disappointed me in the least, not one iota. Brother Zach's not perfect, neither is Brother Vernice, neither is Brother Andrew, neither is Brother Hatfield, and neither is any of us. But I'll tell you, if we'll be ye which are spiritual, restore such a one, in the spirit of meekness. So before you be too quick to part ways with somebody, go to the Lord's Word and see what it tells you and how you ought to act and how you ought to conduct yourself. You know, I've made so many mistakes in life in a lot of different ways. And I'm so thankful that God has been so forgiving to me. He's been good. He's forgiven me as Christ has forgiven me. I should also forgive you, forgive one another. And you'll forgive me a lot sooner if I'll hurry up, sit down, and let Brother Andrew up here. Thank you tonight for your good attention. And I want you to pray for Brother Huffman as he comes to speak to you now.